Joe. I'm still on forgiveness. Let me say it again. Well, no, I'm going to say it again. It's not a matter of letting me. There is divine forgiveness. There is human forgiveness. Remember, divine forgiveness always, and forgiveness always the human, overshadows the human. Divine forgiveness is always superior to human forgiveness, because divine forgiveness never forsakes holy justice.
Exactly.
And that is just so unknown in this day.
Yeah.
That most people think when God forgives, God's just letting it go. Ever lets sin go.
Amen.
Sin must be punished. It must be. Most people today could care less about justice.
Yeah.
And especially divine justice. Now, I said especially divine justice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But also said about divine forgiveness. Divine forgiveness always results in a positive result. God did not forgive us simply to take us to heaven.
No.
We're not saved simply to go to heaven. We're saved to follow Christ.
Yes, sir.
We're saved to serve Christ. And sadly, we began, sadly, when we began, and beginning as infants in Christ, we began very ignorant. We do not understand the blessed place of being mature in Christ. And we don't really know, we can't really fathom the lessons that God Almighty is going to take us through. Whether these things, in our estimation, are good or bad. According to Scripture, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
All things are of benefit to God's people.
Yes, sir.
Even our failures.
Yes, sir.
Even our failures. Our failures teach us lessons that we could not otherwise learn.
Yeah.
God is not teaching us to be perfect. He's teaching us that we are very imperfect.
Exactly.
That's what He's teaching us.
Yeah.
And this is the juxtaposition to religion. Religion thinks, God, well, religion says, God wants us all to be perfect. If God wanted us to be perfect, we would be.
Amen.
We would be. I mean, I find in Scripture there were some men that God who would have committed certain sins, but God withheld them from it.
That's right.
So Mason, why don't He do that all the time?
Exactly.
It's because there is this place of mercy and compassion and forgiveness. Not only does it teach us who we are, David, it teaches us who God is.
Yeah. Amen.
It teaches us who God is. Remember, divine forgiveness always results in a positive result. Now, concerning human forgiveness. Human forgiveness can, and even should, in some cases, imitate divine forgiveness.
Yeah.
Now, some want to term it spiritual forgiveness, as opposed to human forgiveness, and that there may be a place for that. But I'm simply talking about human forgiveness.
Yeah.
There's a human forgiveness that is not on any spiritual plane or spiritual realm. It's strictly fleshly. It's strictly earthly. And as I said, it's based totally upon emotion.
That's it.
Totally upon emotion. Now, human forgiveness that imitates divine forgiveness has emotion with it, but it cannot be based upon emotion. It has to be, remember, first of all, it has to be based upon the sacrifice of Christ.
Yes.
The question is, did Christ die for that person's sins?
That's it.
Huh? That's the question. That's the question. To most folks, that's a gimme. Well, of course He died for everyone's sins, but that's a lie.
Exactly.
Scripture does not teach that. Scripture does says He died for His, says He died for His people. It says He died for the church. It says He died for His bride. Doesn't it? Says He died for His sheep.
Yes, sir.
It says that he became a ransom for many.
Amen.
It doesn't say that Jesus Christ died for all men without exception. It doesn't teach that. There were some men and women already under judgment and in hell when Jesus cried. He certainly did not die for their sins, Mason.
That's right.
Certainly did not die for their sins. Now, this this human forgiveness, when it, even when it's imitating the divine forgiveness, it has to be forgiveness. It has to be, again, we said, based upon the sacrifice of Christ. And the point is this: did give us Christ with no expectation of positive experiential results? The answer is no. No. I used to think, when I thought of forgiveness in Christ, and it's, the phrase is true, the words are true, it's free.
Yes, sir.
It is unwarranted, at least on my part.
Yeah.
You remember the two people. Two men owed the creditor, and neither one of them could pay. One of them owed, what was it, 500, the other 50? We read that? One owed a whole lot more than the other, but neither could pay. And Christ said, this creditor, he frankly forgave them both.
Amen.
He frankly forgave them both. But there were results from that.
Yes, sir.
Both of these people loved the creditor, didn't they?
Exactly.
That's why I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. And I read this, but that's where I want to start again this morning. And let me just begin in verse 36. We'll read that passage. Remember, the whole point is here that when God Almighty forgives someone, there will be experienced results.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. I'm wondering, how'd she get in that house?
Yeah.
How'd she get in there? Nevertheless, she's here, right?
Yes, sir.
And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, now think about it, if he were a prophet.
Yeah.
So this man doesn't know who he is, does he?
Exactly.
Right? It already lets us know. He doesn't know who this man is.
Yeah.
When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?
Mm-hmm.
Now the answer is not which of them will love him.
No.
Right?
No.
The answer is which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged.
Yes, sir.
You got it right.
Yeah.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. Now look, notice. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon.
Yeah.
Seest thou this woman? Now I want you to notice the difference. Now, it doesn't matter how much God forgave me as compared to how much God forgave you. He frankly forgave us all.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And we had nothing to pay.
Exactly.
Okay? He forgave. And the fact is, it doesn't matter, Joe, if you love Christ more than I love Christ.
No.
The point is, do you love Christ?
Yes, sir.
If you don't love him, then that means there was no forgiveness.
Exactly.
You've got to come to love him sometime another.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But here's the difference. Christ doesn't distinguish now between the two people who love, does he?
Yeah.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. Here's the second slight, right?
Yeah.
Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Now here's the point. It doesn't matter if you're a sinner. If you love Christ, if you can serve Christ,
mm-hmm.
if you're found at Christ's feet,
yes.
That's the whole point.
Yes, sir.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Now look what it says. Thou, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now that's not that. Remember the example. He didn't say, now God, I am forgiving her because she loved. That ain't the example he gave, is it?
No.
The example is, I got nothing to pay.
Yeah.
She didn't come up with love, and therefore then Christ forgave her. She loved because Christ forgave her.
Amen.
Her loving much is a manifestation that she was forgiven much.
Yes.
Now here's the thing. Here's something that points out to me whether or not I even really love God at all.
Yeah.
Okay? Or I said that wrong. Whether or not I'm forgiven or not is whether or not I do love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
now, I can't beyond a shadow of a doubt prove that to you.
No.
And you can't prove that to me.
No.
But we've got to be convinced of it in your own heart. And if you know you love Christ, you know you love Christ. There ain't no question about it. You might question how much you love Him.
Oh, yeah.
You might question to the extent to which your love really loves as it ought to love, but you know you love Him.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I question as to whether or not I believe God as I ought, but I know this. I believe God.
Amen.
I can't deny that because I can't help it.
That's it.
I can't help but believe God now. Somebody saying, you must think you're something. No, we'll find out as we read on, we're nothing.
Exactly.
Yet he says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That is, we love in respect to how much we're forgiven.
Yeah.
And he saith unto her, now thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace.
Amen.
Bring it all back down again. The point is this. Forgiveness having been given. See, he had already forgiven this woman in himself before he tells her that she's forgiven, right?
Exactly.
We know that because she already loved him before he said, your sins are forgiven.
Right?
So if she loved him prior to him saying, your sins are forgiven, that means she had to have already been forgiven before he told her she was forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There was here a judicial, or we might say a ground of forgiveness. That's Christ.
Yes, sir.
He's the one that has the right to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the manifestation of this forgiveness. He tells her, you are forgiven.
Yes.
There's always results to God's work. Always. It is not, I'm one of the elect and one day I'll just wake up in heaven. It doesn't work that way. And it also is not, I'm one of the elect, I believe God, but I serve myself. And one day I'm going to wake up in heaven. It's not so. It's not so. Did Christ tell the Pharisee, you're forgiven? He told him, you slighted me at least on three things.
Yeah.
Right? And the Pharisee admitted within himself, he didn't say it out loud, if this man were a prophet.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even a matter whether he's a prophet or not. This is God Almighty manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
He had no idea who this was in his house.
Exactly.
But this woman did. She had some inkling of who he was.
Yes,
she knew he was the one she needed to go to and worship, right?
Yes, sir.
She knew this. And let me tell you, knowing that meant a whole lot more than all that knowledge the Pharisee had. And that knowledge caused, or that knowledge, I guarantee you that it grew.
Yeah.
You know, you don't meet the Lord of glory and then turn right back around and go into your old way of life again.
Yeah.
God won't let you. He won't let you.
Yeah.
You might dive in.
Oh, yeah.
But God's going to waterboard you.
Yes,
that's right, God will waterboard you. He'll say, all right, you want in the water? Stay in the water for a while. And he'll get a hold of the scruff of your neck and he'll stick your head under the water. And he'll make you suck that water in until you're tired of it. And then you say, God, I want out.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. Now, it'd be better, at least in experience, it'd be better if we didn't ever jump in the water to start with.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But once we do, God's going to let us get wet.
Yes, sir.
He's going to waterlog you. He's going to make you sick of it.
Yes, sir.
It's just like that prodigal son. He did not return to the, now I'm not talking, you know, whether we're talking about a person before they're converted or even after they're converted, it really doesn't matter. The fact is, you don't truly turn to God till you get sick of your sin. And that's that. The prodigal son, he got tired of living in the hog pen, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He got tired of it. This is no longer acceptable to me.
Yeah.
This is not the way I want to live.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what forgiveness causes.
Yes, sir.
Now, as I said, there is such thing as what some have termed governmental forgiveness. Now, the word really doesn't quite cut it, but it's hard to find. I've not been able to find a better one. Therefore, I use that word, governmental forgiveness. As I said, the second point here is not only all human forgiveness which imitates divine must be based upon the sacrifice of Christ, but all human forgiveness based upon the divine must not allow a persistent lack of repentance to be an excuse for anyone to continue in sin. In other words, on our part, it is not a free forgiveness. Well, you want to live towards self and the world? Okay, I got no say in the matter. That's up to you. You go right ahead. We'll fellowship you. We'll love you. You know what? That is not the truth of God.
No, sir.
Joe was reading there, and I hadn't even seen this or had this passage in my thoughts. Joe was reading, my eyes just kind of went down over the page, and you look at 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 6. You see, there is such thing, as I say, as governmental forgiveness. And we'll look at some passages that would actually, it will define this for us, in other words. Because I don't want to try to define it with words. I'm unable. I'm not saying it can't be, but I'm unable. But let's get the point here that, as I said, all human forgiveness based upon the divine must not allow a persistent lack of repentance to be an excuse for anyone to continue in sin. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren. Now this ain't a suggestion, right?
Exactly.
This ain't just good advice. This is a command.
Yes, sir.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every, what? Brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye have received of us. Now it don't even say, it's not even talking about immorality here necessarily, right? He's talking about they don't walk according to the traditions that we've taught you. What does he say? Well, just forgive him in Jesus' name. Just let it go. Well, you might not can change them, but you ought to do what? Withdraw.
That's what it says.
Isn't what it says? For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we may not be chargeable to any of you. Now we're getting down to some of the context of what Paul's talking about, ain't
it?
Huh? What's the tradition? One of the traditions was the tradition of the early church. Well, you hire a pastor and you pay him a salary.
Not exactly.
Huh? Is that what Paul's just used as an example?
No.
Huh? You know, we did not walk disorderly.
Yeah.
What'd we do? What I did? Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we preached, and therefore you gave us money. Uh-uh. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Mm-hmm. Not because we have not power. We got power. We have the authority.
Yeah.
We have the right to receive of your physical things because we're ministering to you spiritual things. That's what Paul told the Corinthians.
Yeah.
We have that right.
Yes, sir.
Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Right?
Amen.
That's tough words, right?
Amen.
But if a man won't work, and I'm not talking about one that can't work.
Yeah.
But we talk about if a man won't work, he ain't even to eat. How do you have enough muster to do that? You don't try to get up enough muster to do that. You believe God.
Yes, sir.
If he says to do it, it's right.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it. If any man wouldn't work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing.
Amen.
And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Why? That he might be ashamed.
Amen.
Yet, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now here's the question. Is he really one or not? That's not for us to answer.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If they're a part of the assembly, that's not us. We're not, all right, fine. You're not walking like we walk. You're walking disorderly. You're lost. You're going to hell. And that ain't quite where he told us to go, is it? But there is to sometimes, there sometimes must come some separation.
Yes, sir.
Some disengagement, we might say, right?
Exactly.
Some disengagement. Again, human forgiveness, which is based upon the double human forgiveness, which is based upon this time, must not allow a persistent lack of repentance to be an excuse for anyone to continue in offenses. In other words, somebody says, well, but I'm not going to repent. I don't even think I'm doing wrong anyway. Huh? How do you face something like that? Huh? I believe God, but I'm okay. If you believe God, you know you wasn't okay. That's the whole point. You wasn't okay. Okay.
Exactly.
Just know we're not okay.
Exactly.
Even when we've done what is our duty to do,
yeah,
we're just unprofitable servants. Therefore, when I can't even justify my good deeds, I certainly dare not try to justify my evil deeds.
Yeah.
No, but we're always trying to justify ourselves. We're not the problem. They're the problem.
Yeah.
This is the problem. The only problem I have is me.
Yeah.
My problem's not even you.
Yeah.
If I was perfect, you wouldn't bother me any.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
If I was perfect, you couldn't affect me any.
Exactly.
Right? My problem is me. That's the whole point. Now, granted, I'm called to stand here and not just talk about me, but to talk to you too. Right?
Yes, sir.
But my problem's you. My problem's me. And that's the way all of us must face this thing, especially in light of forgiveness. My problem is me. And the self-pity.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. Why did this happen to me?
Yeah.
Why did they say that about me? Well, they didn't really tell all there was to tell about you. You best thank God they stopped where they did.
Exactly.
Huh? Because they knew some things you don't want to get out.
No.
Right? Well, but they lied about me here. Yeah, but thank God they didn't tell the truth about you.
That's right.
They didn't expose you for what you really are.
Yeah.
Huh? I've been there. Oh, poor me. Oh, me. And then I looked back and yes, I thought, you know what? My problem's me.
Yeah.
I deserve everything that came down the pike.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I deserve a lot worse than what I got. God's been very merciful to me.
That's it.
He's been very compassionate to me in spite of myself. In spite of myself. You see, when we can turn our eyes inward and judge ourselves, okay, it's a whole lot easier than for us to look at one another and be forgiving to one another.
Sir.
Right? But do I look within myself and say, all right, here's what I am. And you know what? I want to just keep being this way. I like this. I like being this way. Is that the way we view it? No. This might be what we are, and Jay, we can't change it. But that doesn't mean we have to like it. And that doesn't mean we give ourselves over to it.
Exactly.
Right? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient.
Exactly.
You know? Not all things are expedient. Sin has consequences.
Yes,
now,
sir.
You turn to Matthew 18. I mean, sin has consequences. And one, remember, the actual penalty, I won't just say punishment. Punishment's right. It's okay.
Yeah.
But the actual penalty for sin is what? You know this.
Yeah.
It's death.
Amen.
Okay? But remember, sin also has other consequences.
Yes, sir.
Not just death, but there are a lot of other consequences that go along with sin.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for instance, I partially used his example last week. You know, a man that robs a bank need not be mad when the police officer shoots him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Well, why did he have to shoot me? Well, you robbed the bank, you idiot. You know? Sin has consequences.
Yes, sir.
If you're dumb enough to go out and lay down the street, don't be mad because somebody runs over you.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, well, they didn't see me. Well, don't lay in the road, you idiot. Now, that's very childish. But this is the way we are. We are.
Yeah.
We sin against God, and we say, oh, why did that happen to me? How ignorant we are.
Exactly.
How ignorant we are. Matthew 18. Now, these are... Some of this is pretty tough stuff here. Now, let's look at Matthew 18. I'll begin in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That says what? Tell him his fault.
Yeah.
It don't just say, well, you've sinned. It says, tell him his fault.
Yeah.
Tell them what they have done wrong.
Yeah.
Tell them how they have offended you. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. What are we going to have here? You're going to have a mini trial.
Yeah.
Right? With evidence being presented on both sides.
Yeah.
Where one says this is what he did, and the other one has to defend what they are accused of.
Mm-hmm.
So that every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican.
Amen.
Now it's sad that it would even have to get that far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's sad that it would. But evidently it can go that far sometimes. Right?
Yeah.
Or our Lord wouldn't even have dealt with going that far.
Yeah.
Then he said this phrase, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What's that in light of? Now, most people think this is a blank check.
Yeah.
You know? I loose you from your bonds. Well, you're an idiot.
Yeah,
you know? This is in light of this context.
Yeah.
If you tell a man you're loosed, you know, you refuse to walk orderly according to God's word, you're loosed.
Yeah.
And God says, if the church loose, not me. Not, I'm not allowed to loose one, David. And if me and you go and tell somebody their fault, we're not allowed to loose them. It's only after it's brought before the church, if it has to go that far and they don't hear the church, then you say, go on.
Yep.
If you don't want to live according to Scripture, why do you want to be with us?
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Whatsoever you loose on earth, or whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I said that wrong, but you see what you can read it there, what it says. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said to him, Lord, how oft shall my... And I forgive him. Till seven times? No. See, Peter's not even, he's not even concerned about what, you mean it might have to go that far? Right? See, Peter, right? See, Peter automatically, he's thinking, he's mulling over what our Lord said. He said, all right, okay, he sinned against me, then he repents. My brother, what if he does it again?
Yeah.
Right? He didn't, our Lord didn't deal with that, did he? What if he does it again? And he says, I repent. Right? And what if he does it again? And he says, I repent. I thought Peter had a pretty good question. You know? How oft my brother sinned against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saying unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now you remember what I told you last time I mentioned this passage. You divide, 70 times seven, so much as 490, is that right?
Yeah.
490 times. Now, it doesn't say in a day.
Yeah.
You know, It doesn't say that, but for some reason, my mind is thinking Christ is saying even in one day. You know, yeah. It doesn't really matter. But let me ask you something. Do you really think you could do that 490 times?
Yeah.
Huh? 490 times.
Yep.
Now, let's take that strictly letter. 490. Does it have to go that far? Huh? After about two or three fisticuffs, probably, you know, the church would have to come in and break up a fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rather than trying to settle just the question to begin with. Now you got a fight on your hands.
Yep.
But look at what he says. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now this is an amazing illustration here our Lord uses. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. I'm going to tell you, that's a lot of money, you know. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. Or as we see here, you may read in your center reference, it doesn't mean worship as in divine worship. It's all about he begged him, you know.
Yeah.
He pleaded with him. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt.
Yeah.
Do you see that? He went beyond, Mason, didn't he? He didn't just loose him and said, all right, start paying up. Give me what you can when you can. He forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Shouldn't that ring a bell?
Yeah.
You know? He'd just been there.
Yep.
And these words have been said, and they were uttered by his own mouth.
Yeah.
Now somebody's saying these exact same words to him. But the point is, this person is saying these words to them. Right? I mean, this is not, well, here's somebody that owes me money, and they say, what are you talking about? I owe you money. You know? What are you talking about? I don't owe you no money. You know? Hey, some people like it. We get like that sometimes. Every time we ask why it happened to me, we're saying we didn't owe God anything, right?
Yeah.
What we're trying to say. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. But he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. How much money he gonna make in prison?
Yeah.
How many entrepreneurs? Well, I guess there are a lot of entrepreneurs in prison. I've seen them.
Yeah.
They have the store boxes, you know. But be that as it may, cast him into prison. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgavest thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now here's the tough one.
Yeah.
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You see, he's winding this thing all the way down. Listen, all right, you won't forgive, go right ahead. You want to be unforgiving, go right ahead. But you'll pay for it. Isn't that what he said? You will pay for it. You may not suffer death. That is, the death, Not just physical death, but Mason, to die the physical death under the judgment of God.
Yeah.
That won't happen to God's people.
No, sir.
But they can still end up paying for their sin in this world.
Yes, sir.
Right? In this world. Now, I'm going to take it further, but I have a few things to go back to and say. You see, this lets me know that when the Apostle Paul said, whatsoever a man sows, that shall reap. If I sow forgiveness, I'm going to reap forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
But if I don't, what am I going to get back?
Yeah.
The same thing. It is a constant rule or law, not Moses, but it's a constant rule of God. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to sow corn and get rice.
Yeah.
You're not going to sow rice and get corn. You will get what you sow.
Yes, sir.
A man sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. He that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting. It's not talking about in heaven. It's talking about now.
Amen.
You know, and Mason brought this up. I think a brother mentioned this one time. You don't sow in one field and then reap over here in another county in another field somewhere.
Exactly.
You sow and reap in the same field.
Yeah.
And Paul and our Lord is talking about what we sow in this world, we're going to reap in this world. That's what he said. That's governmental forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's what some people call chastisement.
Yeah.
That is, here God is teaching me something.
Exactly.
The reality that actions have consequences. All of them. Good actions have consequences. Bad actions have consequences. And David, that's a constant law. It's a constant rule.
Yes, sir.
I can't expect, well, I'm a believer. God's forgiven me. That can't happen to me. Oh, it'll happen to everybody. It'll happen to everybody. Now think about this. Well, that means this person, this wicked servant, boy, they're going to go to hell. Well, wait a minute. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother the trespasses. What? Deliver you to tormentors till what? Till you pay all that was due.
Yeah.
Now you can't go to hell long enough to pay all that's due.
That's right.
You know what I mean? If you look at sin strictly as just the final penalty, you can't do it, can you? That's why hell is everlasting for people. They cannot pay the debt off. But governmentally, the debt can be paid off. Right? And God will deal with you in that until the debt's paid.
Yes, sir.
You see, again, as I said, human forgiveness, which is based upon the divine, must not allow a persistent lack of repentance to be an excuse for anyone to continue in sin. It's dangerous.
Yes.
Because it has consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an amazing passage, and you know it, it's familiar. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what faith makes you do.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now, you may not do it perfectly, but it makes you do that. You choose. It's not, well, I'm a believer. I got to do this. Now, if that's the way you feel, you don't know what true faith is.
Exactly.
You choose to do. You make a conscious decision. This is the way I'm going to be, David.
Yeah.
And you choose what? You choose rather to suffer affliction with God's people. To be on the low road.
Yeah.
Rather to be on the fun road.
Yeah.
To be on the road of affliction with God's people. Rather than to be on the road of pleasure and happiness and fun. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And even then, it is this. For what? For a season.
Yeah.
Now, most of these folks out here, and I've been there, I've seen them. I've been there. I have to tell you, I've been there.
Yeah.
Most of these people, they're going out here on the weekends. They, as Earl said, they live the whole week just for those 2 days on the weekend.
Yeah.
When they go out and cut loose. And they go cut loose, and they cut loose, and they cut loose. And one of these days, they're going to get old.
Yeah.
And one of these days, they're going to find that one of these days, the train's finally going to slow down.
Yeah.
You know, one of these days, the old body's going to get older.
Mm-hmm.
And things are going to happen, and that abuse to that body is going to catch up with you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's true for you and me as well.
Yes,
not just them. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Not just them. David, I'm talking about us. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And there are pleasures out there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's only for a season.
Exactly.
Esteeming. See, that's why I said it's not, oh, well, This is what I got to do. Well, you might as well just not do it. I'm serious. Be either get in or get out.
Yes, sir.
Right? Just don't play games, because you're not fooling anybody but yourself and everybody else around you.
Yeah.
But you ain't fooling God.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. See, I wasn't trying to say you ain't fooling anybody but yourself. You might fool everybody, including yourself, but you ain't fooling God.
Amen.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt.
Yes, sir.
He could have, David, he was in line to possibly become Pharaoh one day.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And he said, not for me. Not for me. You know what? When you truly believe God and God takes you through the ringer, it ain't hard to believe God.
That's it. You're right.
And it ain't hard to know, listen, that's the right way.
Yeah.
And it's the good way. It may not be the easy way. It's affliction. It's reproach.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else around you will say, well, you must think you're really something. No, I know I'm nothing. That's why I want to serve Christ. He's worthy of being served, whether I get anything out of it or not. Right? Even if he sends me to hell, I ought to serve him, because he deserves to be served and worshipped and followed.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Well, we'll have to begin with this. Just turn to it. Maybe you'll want to read it sometime this week. Luke chapter 17. Now, this is familiar. Remember, we have that, you know, in other words, so likewise will my heavenly Father do unto you. And it doesn't say if you forgive the world. We're not supposed to forgive the world. I can't forgive the world. But I am to forgive my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes,
I'm to be ready to forgive them if they repent. Right? Now, it's not they can run in our face. It's not that they can flaunt God's word. Right? It's not that I can flaunt God's word. If I go out here and bring reproach on this assembly, you all are to make it publicly known I have failed. Right?
Yes, sir.
If an elder sins, rebuke before all that others may fear.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what it says.
And I'm not above that, and neither are you.
Exactly.
You know? We're not above that. But let me read this, and I'll make just a couple statements and close it, and then we'll start there, God willing, next time. Luke 17. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. So we're not here trying to stop them. But we are here to warn about them, right?
Sure.
It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him.
Amen.
And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day. This is where I get the, you know, even our Lord was thinking even back then, it's even in one day. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, again in a day, turn again unto thee, saying, I repent, what are you to do?
Amen.
Thou shalt forgive him. Now for me, this next verse, I understand this, but it's not the right answer.
Yeah.
The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith.
Yeah.
In other words, Mason, automatically they knew within themselves, how can we do this?
Exactly.
Increase our faith. What are we saying? God, you ain't given me enough to do what I ought to do before you? Paul lets us know God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I have enough.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I have enough. Now listen to how our Lord answers this. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, behold, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And this is, it's amazing. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded unto you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And notice, it stops. There's no other. See, in other words, it says, we are able to do what God commands us to do.
Yes, sir.
We're able. We don't need more faith. We just need to do what we're told.
Exactly.
Just do it. Well, but this might happen. Well, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Better to do what God says.
Exactly.
And suffer the consequences of that.
Yeah.
Than do what you want and suffer the consequences of that.
Exactly.
Because doing what God wants, the consequences, I guarantee you, whatever they are, will be far better.
Yeah.
Even if it's reproach and affliction.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
Even if it's reproach and affliction. Father, I pray that you join our hearts and minds together in Christ, that we think about one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, but also at the same time, Lord, to warn one another. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.